You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast, sponsored by Jackie Walker's Lighthouse Healing Waves program. Find out more about Jackie at www.thebarefootbroadcast.com. Yes, indeed. You're listening to the all-new Barefoot Broadcast, remixed, revamped, remodeled, and a very special show for you now. Our last hour of our first Sunday of edutainment, which we thought was the right word for this, because this is going to be educational, and I'm sure it'll be entertaining as well. We're joined by Jonathan Sway of the website MayanPredictions.net, and basically the rough outline of the program tonight is a brief history of the Mayans, the origin of this very website, MayanPredictions.net, and the meaning. We'll go into the meaning of the Mayan predictions, and then we can take some questions, and probably people will be pitching in from the chat room throughout the show as well. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on in there. It's 627 days, 10 hours, and 54 minutes until December the 21st, 2012, which is a kind of slightly chilling countdown that's on the website, MayanPredictions.net, which was created by my guest, Jonathan Sway. Great to have you on the show, Jonathan. Welcome to the Barefoot Broadcast.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Ah, right. What an hour we're going to have, I think, because there is a lot of misinformation, disinformation, isn't there, about the Mayans, right?
Absolutely. There's a ton of misinformation, and it's actually that got me to create the website in the first place, because I actually misunderstood, because actually the title Mayan Predictions is a misnomer. You know, they're really, well, we'll get into that, but I don't want to get ahead of your questions.
No, it's okay. As you may have gathered, this is a free range and organic approach to broadcasting. So we go all over the place. We're likely to digress and divert, and that's fine. And I'm sure everything will be as it should be by the time we get to 10 o'clock UK time. What time of day is it where you're speaking from?
It's actually 4 p.m.
Oh, right, okay. And a bit of a balmy day in Florida by the sound of it. I loved Florida when I visited.
Yes, it's a great place to visit.
Yeah, okay. So the Mayans then, brief history of. Do you want to take it away on that? This must have been what you had to find out when you were setting this website up. So, yeah, tell us about it. Give us a brief history of the Mayans, if you will.
Sure. The Mayans were a Mesoamerican society there, you know, basically Mexico, but they went as far as Guatemala, all around that Mexico Central American area, and they were the most advanced society that has been indigenous to the Americas, and a lot of people are mostly know them for their calendar, which wasn't just the Mayans, but they're most well known for it. They're the creators of it. But it was also used by the Aztecs and all the countries, communities, and people of that local area there. But about 900 AD, from 250 AD to 900 AD, they built some wonderful cities, and they just disappeared. And nobody really knows what happened to them. Now, you'll hear that there are Mayans today, and there are people that live in that area, even right now, who you know, feel that they are from Mayan stock or Mayan ancestry. But these giant cities, and you can see pictures of them all over the web, they're absolutely amazing, pyramids and the like, were just emptied. And they all went away, and nobody knows what happened. And so there's theories of disease and war or something like that. But then why were these magnificent cities just abandoned? And they weren't even found again until basically the Spanish explorers came across a couple of the cities just buried in the jungle. And so now, even to this day, there's excavations going on pretty much continually in these ruins. And that's how we found the Mayan calendar. But they had these hieroglyphics that were so in depth and so difficult for anybody to understand modernly, because when the Spanish and the Catholic Church came in, they destroyed all of the written text because, you know, they had not just inscribed in hieroglyphics, but they were also writing on a paper, basically a bark, but they actually had paper books that they were writing on. And there are only 4 copies or partial copies of these texts in existence today.
My goodness. Now, okay, there's a lot to go out there, isn't there? So what we've got, we're talking about, I mean, this is just a wonderful Indiana Jones kind of vibe already, isn't it? We're talking lovely mystery here, aren't we? We're talking delicious mystery here.
Yes.
We're talking about, the original Native American people, you might say.
Yes, absolutely. And so the Spanish Catholic in their wisdom, and I'm not going to go back to the 1600s and chastise them, but they decided... They decided to destroy. They saw these hieroglyphics and they're drawing, writing, and they saw it as evil, and so they decided to destroy it. And there's actually, I'm sure you've heard of people burning everything from records to books to you name it. Well, they had basically a town square burning back then, and they burnt all of the original texts that they could find. And so when modern scholars tried to relearn the language, they had basically only the hieroglyphics that are chiseled into the wall, which is, you know, it's the poor guys are trying to recreate this, and it's been weathered, you know, for over 1,000 years. So it's been tough. But they were actually able to find in Germany, this is a whole show in and of itself, so I'll go quick. They actually found a German copy in a museum, and they found it after the World War II. There was a soldier going through the ruins of one of their museums and found a text, and he really was able to create or get a head start on this language. And so they were actually able to modernly translate the Mayan text. And that's how they found this calendar. And the thing about the calendar is that it's cyclical, and each cycle is an age. So the cycle is over 5,000 years long. So when people are talking about how this calendar is ending, it's not just, you know, 100 years or 500 years. It's 5,126 years long, and it's coming to its end, as you said, in about 600 days.
And it's not the sort of calendar, as we think of it, that you could hang on your wall that you get given as a Christmas present, is it?
Well, the Mayans actually had several calendars. The calendar that we're discussing right now is the Long Count. And it has been called, and not just by me, but experts in the field, the most accurate timekeeping device created by man, which is pretty impressive when you think about it, because this calendar was created, you know, 1,500, over 1,000 years ago by the Mayans, and they are able to accurately predict the eclipse today to the second based on this calendar. And I'm going to be honest with you, I couldn't do it. Okay. I couldn't do it now. I couldn't do it with my internet connection, you know? So they did this just by viewing with the naked eye the heavens. And so it's absolutely remarkable how advanced this civilization was. And not just that, but their mathematics and everything involved was pretty intense as well. So when we found this calendar, I'm not going to go into the Mayan words for you because I would butcher them, and who knows who's calling them correctly. Anyway, they had a religious calendar that was 13 months long of 20 days, so it's 260-day calendar. And then they had a solar calendar that was 365 days. And these calendars actually went together like meshed gears, and you'll hear that a lot researching Mayan calendars. And so you could actually get a day by using either calendar or both in unison. So day one of year one would be day one on both calendars. But as you got going, day 261 on the solar calendar is the year two, day one of the other calendar, you see? So they work as a gear. And it doesn't repeat for 52 years, and that's called a calendar round. And so the calendars work together, and the Mayans believed that by taking, this is uh, their their astrology by taking each calendar and finding the day on both calendars, created the name of a god that when the day was born in the morning, and their calendar started with daylight, not at midnight. When the day started in the morning, that day was a new god. So, and the attributes of the day god was determined on each attribute of the calendar day based on the two calendars. And so that was their yearly calendar. If we went to the store and purchased a calendar, that's basically what we would translate that to the Mayans, were these two calendars, either one, the religious calendar or the solar calendar. And the long count calendar calculated an age, and it worked within the same meshed gears. But after 52 years as a calendar round, we're talking about 5,126 years for the long count. And that's how they were able to keep track of events that went beyond 52 years and also went beyond their lifetimes. So if they were talking about a ruler from 500 years ago, or if they were making a prediction about a ruler for 1,000 years in advance, they would use the long count calendar.
Amazing. Now, the interesting thing here is, and also I've got to rewind back to that village square where they were burning all the pieces of bark. We've got to go back to that. Before I do, I mean, the first thing to say, or the first thing I'd like to say, is that their worldview, their position in time, is clearly very different to ours. They're thinking 1,000 years in advance. We're not like that anymore, are we? We tend to think in terms of lifetimes, right?
That's absolutely correct, and that's one of the magnificent things about their culture, is that not just for that day, but even for today, they were so advanced. And when they were viewing the heavens, they were doing it by lifetime. You know, Carl, if you and I, if we look into the heavens, it takes us an entire lifetime without, you know, just using the naked eye to realize that the heavens have actually moved by 1 degree. What is it, 70 years, right, for the heavens to move by 1 degree? And they were actually able to do this by the naked eye and do it based on different lifetimes. So they calculated the heavens, and that is just – that's incredible. You know, the Europe – the scholars in Europe were not doing anything like that at that time. So and nobody really knows how they were able to pull this off, you know, and that's one of the big mysteries. One, they disappeared. Two, they were so advanced. And so that's your mystique, that's Indiana Jones, which is what personally excited me about the entire concept. And okay, I've always...
Sorry. Well, I'm loving your passion. That comes across so clearly about, you know, you're ignited, aren't you, by this
absolutely.
Quest to understand these guys better. But, if you know, before we go into that, before we find out how you got into it personally, mm-hmm. I love that comparison, you know, and I want to go back to this this idea that you have of the village square where they burnt all the stuff that they found presumably in temples. Now, if you compare and contrast a European so-called civilization, that the first thing it does when it finds all these artifacts is make a big bonfire, and then you compare those people, and we're a part of that, aren't we, because it's only a few hundred years ago, right. If you compare that to the awesome, you know, literally, truly, and it's a correct use of the word awesome in this, it's no understatement, is it, to what you're talking about, what the Mayans were clearly capable of. You have an incredible contrast. You have like a bipolar contrast there, don't you?
Yes.
Of what's going on in our two respective cultures. But what is the speculation? Why did the Catholic explorers want to burn all that stuff? Are the theories that it was just so dangerous it had to be burnt, or were they just thinking, actually, we just need to get rid of this stuff, it's in the way?
Well, you know, their writings say that... basically, they considered it to be evil. But a lot of our modern historians say exactly what you did, that it was in the way. You know, they wanted to convert the indigenous population, and a lot of these original beliefs were in the way. And so what we don't know, what we don't understand, we fear. And since we're clearly right, we just go ahead and destroy it. And that's basically what my personal take on what happened is going to be.
Wow. Okay, let's just remind everybody where we are. Jonathan Sway of MayanPredictions.net. We'll just play our jingle and we'll be right back and find out how you got into this personally.
All right.
You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast. Find out more about the show at www.thebarefootbroadcast.com.
Yeah, you're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast. I'm joined by Jonathan Sway, the creator of MayanPredictions.net. We're just about to find out why Jonathan got into this and why he was inspired to create a website. But my jingle music there, you see, I think there's a slight Mayan vibe there. And we've stereotyped the Mayans, haven't we, into headdress-wearing kind of native people who dance around fires and do rituals. We may be way off the mark. We've got to be, haven't we? Isn't that just our way of kind of making them manageable?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. We associate the Mayans with a lot of our beliefs with the Aztec culture, which we actually the explorers actually found when they arrived there in Central America and modern day Mexico, is they found that the Aztecs and the cultures around there were what they would consider backwards. And it wasn't until years later that they actually were able to find these cities hidden away in the jungles. You know, they basically just stumbled across them, the European explorers, and were absolutely flabbergasted. And they're still making discoveries today of artifacts and the like. It's stunning the work that's going on there right now and the stuff that they are actually learning. So what had happened is in about the 1960s, they were studying the Mayan calendar, and I've probably got the date wrong as far as when they were able to translate it, but what they do, and obviously we're not using the Mayan calendar today. We're using our, the modern Gregorian calendar. And they wanted to mesh the two calendars up because they knew that the long count had a finite time, and that they figured it was probably nearing running down. And so they were able to use history to find elements in history that happened not only in the Mayan calendar, but in our Gregorian calendar stuff, especially the heavens. Fortunately, the Mayans were great astrologers and astronomers, and they took a great deal of care studying the heavens. And so if we were able to find an event that happened in history that the Mayans would probably have recorded as well, then they would look for that. And how they would create a common calendar is they would find enough of these events that coincided, and then they were able to combine the calendars. You know, I believe one of them was something that happened with Venus, and then of course eclipses, and then anything like a large comet. And so they would take these events that happened in both calendars, make sure that they were accurate, and mesh them, and that's how they were able to get it actually to the point where they have the calendars to the day, which was, I'm sure that was one enormous undertaking.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, there is the personal side of this, which is you and how you got into it. Obviously, we don't need to ask too much about how exciting it is, but What inspired you to actually get to work on creating the website? It's wonderful material, isn't it? But what moved you to actually, take some action and get this wonderful resource created online?
Well, I love to learn, and I was not online in any shape or form, and I wanted to be. And so I took a course on SEO and online marketing and this sort of thing. And they said, what you need to do, find something you're interested in, create a website, and then, you know, just try it out so that you can become used to it, and then later on pan out into, you know, into other markets that may or may not be profitable, but learn from something you enjoy. And so they said, go ahead and just try to find a topic, and then if you can, find a website. Well, the 2012 movie hadn't been, you know, had come out recently, and there was all this talk about the world ending because of these Mayan predictions. And so I was like, ah, you know, 2012 is really interesting, and I'm from the Indiana Jones era. You know, I was born in the mid-70s, so that was just the coolest thing when I was a kid. And so I loved it. And so I just went into a search engine and typed in the Mayans, and then I tried to find a website that worked, and Mayan prediction seemed so cool. You know, I was like, oh, I've got to have that one. And that's really how it all began. All of a sudden I had this website with this interesting little .net at the end of it and had no idea what I was doing and didn't know anything about it. So I had to start my research and actually learn that the Mayans, as far as we know, made no actual prediction at all about 2012. It's just the end of the age for the Mayan calendar. And the fact that it actually ends on the winter solstice is, I don't want to say that it's coincidence, because surely it's not, but it's not anything that they even talk about. It's just, and they did track it, you know, they track winter and summer solstice as well. And so the fact that it ends on that, you know, clearly is intentional. And then you hear people talk about the numerics of it, where it's December, which is our 12th month, and then it's the 21st day, which is the inversion of 12, and then it's 2012. And so they say, oh, it must be a trick or a joke, but the Mayans were not using the Gregorian calendar when they created the long count. It actually ends on that day. So the fact that it is 12-21-12 is a coincidence, but there's a lot of speculation as to, you know, whose coincidence it is. You know, it some people consider it to be a sign, you know, somebody saying, hey, pay attention here, this is intentional. But if it is intentional, it wasn't the Mayans that did it, because they had no idea about the Gregorian calendar, of course, when they were training.
That's bombshell number one, then, is this idea that the Mayans knew somehow that it was going to be the 21st of December 2012, because that just wasn't in their vocabulary.
Right, certainly it was completely alien, and there's no way that they could have known it. And the correlation, which is the word I was looking for earlier, the correlation of the two calendars, did not know the end date when it started either. There's no way that it could. When they were correlating these events, that, you know, these worldwide events that both calendars would record in their history, there's no way that they were able to know what the last date was going to be either. So it actually ends on December 21st, 2012. So that's as exciting as it is. It's not a conspiracy. It just happened. And one of the greatest experts in Mayan culture, Mesoamerica, but Mayan culture, is Dr. Michael Coe. And I just give you just a real brief, he's a Harvard PhD. He worked for the CIA here in the States, the Central Intelligence Agency. The guy, just enough to say that he's not just a complete and utter nutcase. Well, maybe he is, but if he is, he comes with some great some great statistics to back him up. But yeah, what he said, and he actually set this entire thing off, is when he was studying the Mayan calendar, he said in 1966 that the ending of the Mayan calendar could actually be Armageddon, in that, according to the Mayan beliefs and then the Judeo-Christian beliefs, that would be the date that would coincide. And so that's where this whole thing came from. And then people talking about Nostradamus, people talking about NASA, people talking about the Hopi Indians, all these are added onto the calendar because it's a convenient date for these other beliefs to merge. So the 2012 date only comes from the Mayan long count calendar. The only other time really that you're going to find a 2012 date was in 2006. NASA predicted one of the largest solar storms in recorded history would actually occur in or around 2012. And so that wasn't – they opened up an entire storm themselves by doing that. And when you read their article, their 2006 article, it's clearly not the intent of the author. He just opened up Pandora's box and couldn't close it after the fact. But that article is actually still on NASA.gov. They have since refuted it and said that, oh, you know, that's not what we meant, and et cetera, et cetera. And clearly it isn't. He doesn't actually – the author never says that it's going to be cataclysmic or Armageddon or anything like that. But he added credence to the 2012 theory and in some situations the 2012 hysteria. And so that – together, when you throw NASA in with the Mayans, you really create a not just exciting, but anxious situation as well.
Absolutely. And I'm guessing then from creating what you thought might be a fairly modest educational project in terms of understanding a bit more about the internet, you found yourself in the middle of some incredible controversy and history, and just thought, this is amazing. This thing has got legs. And so what happened, Jonathan? What, you know, how long ago was this?
It was just a year ago, a little about 13 months now. And I stumbled and fell and landed on a great URL. And if you know, and I'm sure you do, if you know anything about the internet, you know, a great URL goes a long way to cleaning up the mess that we might make of the internet ourselves. And so Mayan Predictions was a great website to actually have, but there was nothing on it. I actually had to start writing. And if you read, and please don't go do this, but if you read some of my earlier articles, they're an absolute mess. Basically, it's me asking questions and doing a little bit of Google research and then throwing more questions at you. But, you know, it was interesting, and I think that it touched a chord because it was – It certainly is now, but at the time it was my most successful website, and I had built, you know, about a dozen, and they were on stuff like barbecue grills and, you know, just trying to learn the internet from somebody who had, you know, other than email, hadn't really done much. And so all of a sudden I'm getting 50 visitors a day to this website because it's interesting. And I think that the fact that I wasn't trying to throw anything at anybody, that I was really on a discovery process myself, I think that resonated. And so I started to get more and more traffic. And as the website got older, Google thought that maybe I was worth more traffic as well. And so I started to climb up the search engine rankings. And so if you put Mayan Predictions in, you know, I was on page one. I was like the eighth website or something like that. But I was getting some traffic. And then around the new year, it exploded on me. All of a sudden, I went from 50 visitors to 500. And I said, you know, these people who are coming to my website deserve a little bit more than me writing an article every couple of weeks or whatnot. So I started writing and learning more and more about it. And about the time of the Japan earthquake, I was talking to a friend of mine, Udi in Israel, on Skype. And I was just about to head to the sack because, you know, for him to be at work, it means it's the middle of the night for me. And I was just about to shut down the computer and go to sleep, and the Japan earthquake occurred. And so within minutes of the Japan earthquake, I was able to write an article, because when the New Zealand earthquake had occurred, I got so many questions about, do you think this could be a sign, these escalating natural disasters? Do you think it has anything to do with the Mayan calendar? And so that's just that's all I really wrote about the Japan earthquake, was that there are experts, but then the common man as well is kind of feeling that maybe we're revving up, you know, the revving up towards something. And is that or could that be true? And I don't try to answer it. I just try to put what I think people want to talk about. And so that's all I did. And the website got about 15,000 visits that day. Wow. And it hasn't slowed down. Well, it slowed down, but it has not. It's just not stopped. I'm still getting a couple thousand page views a day, which is, you know, I was at 50 and thought I was on the top of the world as far as websites were concerned. And now, you know, and still the site is, I think it's honest. You know, it's not, I have, when somebody says, is the world going to end on 2012? I can say, I have no idea, but I personally do not believe so. That's not what the Mayans seem to be saying. They are saying, it's very clear that they are saying that December 21st, 2012 is the end of an age. And one of the most important things for everybody to understand, because I know that can be a little bit chilling, is this is the fourth age. According to Mayan mythology, this is the fourth age. So clearly the Earth has survived the first three, and there's no reason to think that it wouldn't survive the fourth. Now, there are, and here's something else that is very chilling. At the end of the calendar round every 52 years, what they did across, and what made me think of this or remember this was our recent Earth Day. What they did across the Mayan community, they put out every fire at the end of the common round or the 52-year calendar round. And then in the morning, the first day of the next calendar round, they relit them. And that was the out with the old, in with the new, basically. And that tells you how significant the end of the calendars were for these people. And that was the 52-year calendar. And that was basically the idea of death and rebirth, of renewal. And so when you talk about the Mayan calendar, there are pretty much two camps and then an apathetic group. But when you talk about the two camps, there are the people that say that it means something cataclysmic, either the end of something, you know, a disaster. And then there are the people that say it is merely a rebirth or a renewal, and that we might not even notice necessarily on that day, that hour, that second, but that it would be the beginning of a renewal. And so I think that's pretty exciting. So, you know, personally, I do not believe in a cataclysmic event for December 21st, 2012 at all. I believe that it will be the end of the Mayan long count calendar, and that the next day, the next morning at dawn, wherever you are, the next morning at dawn of the 22nd of December is day one of the new age, of the Mayan calendar's new age. And that's what, wow, I believe.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. And clearly, what was a project you must have got an A star for with your internet project has opened an almighty can of worms for you, and a consuming way of life almost, by the sound of it. And thank you very much, Jonathan, for that. For your particular, you know, obviously that's the obvious question, isn't it? As the man behind this website, is, do you think the world is going to end on that day? And thank you for your answer there. The can of worms that I speak of is open in our chat room. If I can look at a few of the comments in the chat room. Also, maybe a good time to tell everyone you're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast. I'm joined by Jonathan Sway this evening of MayanPredictions.net. We are doing everything you wanted to know about the Mayans, but we're afraid to ask. No need to be afraid. You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast. We're friendly folks. You can hear what a lovely chap Jonathan is, and he'll give you his view, his opinion on what's going on. And as you can hear, he's not declaring himself as any sort of authority. This is an intelligent look at what might be occurring. Is it fair to describe it as that, Jonathan?
Absolutely. And I would be very hesitant to listen to anyone who's going to tell you that they know exactly what's going to happen. Probably at the end of that conversation, they're selling you something. And I hate to say it, but, you know, and I hear it all the time that if I really wanted to make my website valuable, I would throw in a fair amount of fear mongering. And that's, you know, I would rather not be valuable than to do that type of thing. There's enough people that have anxiety about it without any help from me. And so, I understand that. I can understand the anxiety involved, but I don't think it's anything that we have to worry about. But as you do see these, these natural disasters, there's an article actually on the site about the increase of animal deaths. That and even animal suicide, if you can go that far, that have been occurring in the last 20, 30 years. And then, of course, the escalation of natural disasters. So those, I think, are signs. And my father actually says it very well. He says it's Mother Earth saying, wake up, you know, wake up. And that, I think, it adds fear to the Mayan predictions, because as these things happen, one thing that's on a lot of people's minds is 2012. And so, you know, when you hear about an earthquake in Japan or one of the cyclones that went through Thailand or those type of things, it can be a little fearful, certainly, but yeah. Let's take care of the Earth, and maybe the Earth would take care of us. But that's neither here nor there. That's just me throwing that out there.
No, it's a good comment. It's a good comment because, we do constantly have this correlation between the personal and the planetary, don't we? Because on a personal level, we always have that fear of death. So the 2012 prophecy speaks perfectly to that, doesn't it? That there will be an ending, because we all know we're going to end. We're looking for some sort of definition there, but just as you were speaking there is also a planetary aspect here, and I'm so in line with you. I think it's a fair comment to make here on the Barefoot Broadcast that we are seeing it. This 20 in the States, you're calling it 12/21/2012. We're calling it 21/12/2012. If that's not too complicated, but as a transition into a new way of being on the planet, and that's, as you say, you know, that might be marked on a certain dawn, which would be that time in December 2012. But so arguably, we're already feeling that transition and that shift, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Some people, astrologers are saying that 2011 is when it began.
Right, and I've heard that as well. And you know, a lot of people think that an event or a transition happens with the opening and closing of a door. All right, you say, okay, I'm going to go out that door. You open it up, you step out, and you close it, and you have gone from the inside to the outside or the inverse. Well, you know, transition for us as a people doesn't happen like that. And it's exactly like you say, it would build up, and then even after the so-called event, it would still be, you know, it would still be growing. So I don't think that it's going to be, you know, the second at midnight, because then which time frame would we be using? Would we be using dawn in Mexico, or would we be using dawn there in the United Kingdom? You know, where exactly would it occur? So
it's going to be like New Year's Eve, isn't it, where people are looking for Australia to see if the world ends in Australia and whether in the 12 hours it's going to take to get to Europe, we should go out and party.
Exactly. So, you know, that's true. And I, you know, there is a question in the chat room or more of a comment about the paper calendar on the wall. And I would like you to be careful about making that association with the Mayan calendar. And the reason is that the Mayan calendar was the end of an age, and they had a yearly calendar. And it was nothing in comparison. So, yes, on December 31st, you take down your old calendar, and on January 1st, you put up a new one. Well, the Mayan calendar is similar, even the long count, in that at the end of this 5,126-year calendar, it starts over. It's cyclical. So it begins again. But it's not something that, you know, is going to happen 70 times in your lifetime. You know, it is actually an age. And if this were 500 years ago, we wouldn't even be talking about it because we've got 500 years and 600 days to think about it. So, yeah. You know, anyway, that's all.
No, that's
and I'm not saying that it's wrong. In a sense, it is exactly correct because the new calendar does start. But
yeah,
it kind of trivializes the Mayan calendar. And that.
Yes, we're talking a completely different scale here. And in our conversation, in me being absorbed completely in what you're saying, Jonathan, I have lost track of the chat room. I should say also, if you want to call in to the Barefoot Broadcast, the number to call is 347-857-3198. If you think there's anything I'm missing in terms of asking questions to Jonathan Sway of MayanPredictions.net, do call in or put the comments or questions in the chat room, as some people have been doing. Let's have a look at a few of those. There's a comment that the I Ching, and Hopi Indians made reference to 2012. So you must have come across this sort of corroboration, Jonathan, as well, that it's not just the Mayans who we're talking about.
Right. And I did. I come across it quite frequently. And actually, one of my next articles will be on the American Arizona Indians, the Hopi, the Hopi Indians. But the problem with associating those legends, myths, and prophecies with the Mayan calendar is that it was after the fact. You know, the Mayan calendar ends in 2012, and then here is this, and Nostradamus actually is the greatest culprit, the poor fellow. Here is this great Nostradamus prediction about the end of the world where fire and the like is coming down. And so that people then say, okay, well, clearly he's talking about 2012. And it's similar. The thing with the I Ching, the I Ching, is that a lot of that happened. A lot of it was after the fact where they associated. And there's some really guilty parties on the internet right now that are associating those together and then selling an ebook or something. And I have no problem with anybody selling something, because if you're selling it, then somebody is interested enough in it to buy it. And so, you know, I have – that's great, fair market. But I don't think you should – create a problem, a hysteria, a fear, and then market to that for profit. I think that's wrong. And so that's what I found when I was looking into the Chinese prophecies, where that the fact that these prophecies exist is true, but the fact that they correlate exactly to the Mayan predictions is not necessarily true. And I'll be honest, there are much, much wiser men than me. They just don't have as cool a website, who know more about it than I do. And so, yeah. You know, please don't take – matter of fact, question everything I tell you. Question everything I tell you and discover it for yourself. But take everything also with a grain of salt, especially if there's a PayPal button at the end of their website.
Well, yeah, selling you a storm shelter and survival supplies.
Right,
yeah,
and I don't have a problem with that. If you want a storm shelter, then that's probably a great merchant to purchase it from.
Yes,
but,
indeed.
You know, so.
Well, good evening to CK Me in the chat room as well, saying that the Spanish wanted the gold. And again, you know, that's the sort of theory that would, of course, mean that they'd burn a whole load of useless bits of parchment and paper and tree bark, right? They want this gold shiny stuff. They're not interested in all the bits of paper, so they just got rid of it.
Right, and that's a very good point. And they clearly wanted the gold, and not just the gold, but everything that this new world had to offer. And so you're right. Anything that was in the way of that was removed.
Okay. Good evening as well to Christine Smith, who's just joined us. And for anyone else who's just joined the show, you're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast. I'm joined by Jonathan Sway of MayanPredictions.net. We're having a fantastic 2012 101, everything you wanted to know about the Mayans, but were afraid to ask. I think we've covered a lot of the ground. The other thing that's being said in the chat room, of course, is that the Spanish, CK Me is saying, I thought the Spanish rejected all Mayan teachings as their first forays into the New World were during the Inquisition, obviously, where they wanted to share their own propaganda and squash anything else that might attract the interest of people and have interest stray away from the sort of Catholic perspective. In your, I suppose, with the benefit of hindsight, i.e., you've had a few more, a couple, well, four or so more centuries to have a look at this than they did. You have a shifted perspective in that way. Do you think, have things come to light for you, Jonathan, that you think are secrets that in those times would have been really disturbing and powerful for people and enabling and empowering? And what are those things now that have come to light in your study of the Mayans that are really powerful and empowering things for human beings today?
Yes, I think so. I think quite a bit. And just to backtrack for 1 second, I'd like to bring up Easter Island. You know, we think of Easter Island and these great monoliths and these humongous faces and these gigantic carvings. And the exact same thing happened there. We don't understand these carvings because the writings that accompanied them were destroyed when the European explorers found them. They just destroyed it. And so I think that's kind of, and you know, there's such a mystique about Easter Island. I think that's a great way of looking at the Mayans, is that basically the same thing happened. And I think you're exactly right. Whatever was not Catholic was therefore wrong, and whatever they did not understand was therefore wrong, and the best way to get rid of it was to set it on fire and burn it down. And that's what they did, unfortunately. And we lost so much. They couldn't necessarily burn down the hieroglyphics, and they hadn't even discovered them there in the beginning, but anything that was bark or paper was destroyed, and they did have an amazing writing system. If you have ever looked at the Mayan writing, it is incredible. And I'll tell you, one of the breakthroughs on the writing for the Mayans was that each writer took such a liberty with the characters to the point that they would draw them different ways that would necessarily mean the same thing. So you would have a similar looking hieroglyphic, and one person now today looking at them and thinking that they must be two different words, when in fact they were the same word, because they used, you know, they used a lot of free rein in their writing. And back then it was, you know, they were able to read it and to see that, this scribe is, you know, he's making an alliteration, or he's being funny, or he's being serious. And,
I see. In the same way that two musicians these days could interpret a song in an R&B way or a rock way, it'd be the
Absolutely.
Same song, but you might not even be able to tell that because of the different treatment.
That's absolutely. So that's and calligraphy. That's a very good, Gary. That is a very good illustration. And that was a humongous breakthrough, is when they were able to find these correlations in the writing, and they were able to then take leaps and bounds in translation. And actually, the translation of the Mayan writing has happened within our lifetimes. This has occurred recently. The numeric writing was translated as far as dates. Was translated as far back, I want to say the 1930s, but if I'm wrong, I'm not far wrong. So we were able to translate dates and numbers as far back as then, but we were not able to read what they were talking about until I want to say the 1960s, 1970s.
Right, and so with the other part of my question there, so in your study here, what do you think are the powerful empowering secrets that the Catholics wanted to suppress? What are the messages that you think are useful messages? So let's say we are entering a new age next year on December the 21st. What's the powerful stuff that the Mayans were trying to tell us that the Catholics didn't want us to hear?
Well, there is when they talk about the previous ages, a lot of it is out with the old and in with the new. And I think that might have scared a lot of the European explorers, that anything that would put a finite date on their worldview or their religion was wrong. And there actually is a writing by one of the leaders of the Catholic Church who was there at the time, who was actually burning at the time. And what he said was that he couldn't read the hieroglyphics, the Mayan writings, but that there were these monstrosities that were drawn, and that he correlated that to be demons, and then therefore of the devil, and therefore evil. And so that was his reason for burning it, was that it was clearly of the devil. So that's why he says he did it. What we missed is anybody could say, there's just absolutely no idea what is lost because of that. You know, the four parchments that exist today are fragments. You know, it would be like taking the entire work of Shakespeare and pulling out, you know, three or four paragraphs or three or four pages and saying 500 years later, here is Shakespeare, these four pages. You know, it's just, it's not fair. And there's no idea. I mean, I just shudder to think what we lost in as far as their history and their mythology and their religion and their predictions as well, because they did use the long count to make predictions there. And this ought to make a lot of people feel a little better. I can tell you that there are Mayan predictions that are more distant than the end of the current long calendar. And what I mean is that there are some writings in the Mayan predictions that talk about one of their rulers returning. And when he returns, when you work that date out, it is actually later. It's actually a couple thousand years later than December 21st, 2012. So the fact that they were still making predictions beyond that date clearly, I believe, makes it seem that there obviously isn't going to be the end of the world or even the end of the human civilization at all. I mean, it couldn't be. You couldn't end the world and then say, and then 1,000 years after everybody's gone, here comes ruler such and such back to reclaim his kingdom.
Brilliant. Now, the joke, of course, with the Mayans is that it's thought that they are predicting our demise possibly, but they didn't manage to predict their own.
Right.
What do you think about that? Where did they go?
Well,
was there a disease? Was there a war or something even worse? What are you left thinking after all the research you've done?
Well, that's the Indiana Jones aspect of it all. That's so exciting. But where did they go? I mean, there are people who say that it was a disease and that a disease killed off the Mayans. And if that were true, that might explain why the cities were left. Right? Because, you could imagine an airborne pathogen that would actually kill somebody who went into the city shortly after everybody had died, right? That would make sense. You can envision that. So maybe a disease killed everybody. And then there are people who say that it was a war. Now, if it had been a war, my common sense says that they wouldn't have left these cities just to be reclaimed by the jungle. But you know, nobody really knows. And then I'll be honest, one of the more interesting but way out there ideas is that they were so advanced that perhaps they got their wisdom from something extraterrestrial. And I'm not promoting this. I'm just giving it to you. And that if this were true, couldn't it not also be true that that is where they went? And if they did go there, could they not return? And what a great time to return would be December 21st, 2012. I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying it's a really cool premise for a movie. Okay? That is really exciting, but I don't believe it for a second. And then there's other people that say maybe it wasn't extraterrestrial, maybe it was transdimensional, and, you know, all those science fiction things. And those are all cool to think about, but you know, I don't, there's actually no evidence there. So where did they go? Nobody really knows.
And you know what? We are facing our extinction in broadcasting terms right now, and we will be disappearing just as the Mayans did, but not in the same way, possibly. I'm not fearing an alien abduction right now. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us on the Barefoot broadcast tonight. Absolutely fascinating. And sorry I wasn't able to sort of tie together the themes that were running in the chat room as well as I'd like to have done, but I was completely absorbed in what you were saying. And I hope you'll come back sometime, maybe on the 22nd of December next year.
I would love to. That would be great.
I mean, do stay in touch in the meantime. It's been absolutely wonderful to have you as a guest, and thank you for doing what you're doing. If you want to find out more about Jonathan's website, mayanpredictions.net, somebody will put that in the chat room for us. Thanks very much for joining us from Florida tonight. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Yeah, and let's stay in touch and hope to have you again, your company again, sometime in the future. Take care.
All right, thank you. You have a great one. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, bye for now. Thank you very much indeed. That has been the Barefoot Broadcast as our first remix show. Join us again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock UK time when you can have a kick-ass astrology reading from the cosmic astrologer Steve Judd. Give us your date of birth, place of birth, and time of birth. See you tomorrow night, Monday, 4th of April, 7 p.m. UK time. Take care, everyone. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Barefoot Broadcast, www.thebarefootbroadcast.com.